Chapter 3. Eric stood near the edge of the pool, a few feet away. For once, Charles was greatly tempted to feign a little helplessness. If he were helpless, then Eric would have to assist him, carry him. Eric, who stood there in swim trunks that exposed perfectly sculpted legs, that hugged, in a promising way, the area they covered, with a waist so narrowed and tapered, it hardly seemed likely to lead to that broad, muscular chest the way it did. But helplessness wasn't attractive. Despite all his scars, despite his stem-like legs, Charles badly wanted to be attractive right around now. "I think I can manage," Charles said, transferring to the floor, which was always ungainly, but he could do it. Wheelchair brakes locked, hand on the pool ladder, right leg. He could move that one far enough on his own today. But the left needed a little help. And then, not too fast, there. He sat at the pool's edge, feeling almost ridiculously triumphant. Of course, his legs were folded demurely to one side, as though he were pretending to be the Little Mermaid. But he'd take it. Eric seemed almost as pleased as Charles. "Good? Ready to swim again?" "Yes, even if I'm armored." "It's hardly armor," Eric said, coming to sit beside him. His feet broke the surface of the water. A soft splash echoed from the tiles around them, ripples of reflected light shimmering on the vaulted ceiling above. "We just went with the soft pads around your knees and shins, and of course the boots." "Go on. Call them booties. I can handle the truth." Eric's smile seemed to contain more teeth than most people's. "All right then, booties." Dressed to seduce, Charles thought as he looked down at all that black padding. But in his condition, the same minor scrape that would only annoy most people could easily go unnoticed and untreated, and thus turn into a major infection. At least he didn't have to wear a shirt. Using a manual wheelchair regularly had done more for his upper body strength than those stupid Pilates classes ever had. And most of the scars were on his back. It wasn't vanity to think Eric might enjoy that part of the view. As Charles used his hands to lower each foot into the water, Eric slipped in, a movement so smooth and streamlined the water hardly seemed to ripple around him. "All right, Charles, jump." Charles raised an eyebrow. Eric was unmoved. "I mean it, jump."
"Without my legs?"
"Use whatever else you've got going. Don't hesitate, plunge." Charles didn't get much chance to act without hesitating anymore. It was surprisingly refreshing to shove himself off the side of the pool, to splash into the water, feel it close over his head, and feel his body suddenly, beautifully, joyously light in a way it hadn't been in far too long. His arms swept upward, thrusting him upwards through the water until he broke the surface. Eric's hands caught his shoulders. He was grinning again.
"There you go."
Charles shook his damp hair as vigorously as a wet dog, the better to spray Eric's smug face. It was all a laugh until he realized. The slight weight of the booties was enough to tip his legs downwards. His feet had just touched the bottom of the pool. He was standing. Slowly, Charles straightened. Eric's smile faded. No, changed, gentled, as Charles tested himself, discovered that he had just enough remaining strength to balance. Eric pulled his hands back so that Charles stood on his own and said, "How is that?"
"I've no words." "How did you describe what it felt like?"
"You couldn't. Charles himself could never have understood it before his accident." Eric nodded, accepting this and understanding it. There was no need to hide his emotions, Charles realized. The wonder of it, or the pain either.
the thunderclap of shock, the way this thing that had been thoughtless to him before was miraculous now. And the exhilaration of standing in front of Eric, face to face, the way he wished they'd met, being able to look him in the eyes. "Then?" Moira said, clutching her sandwich in front of her, half eaten and forgotten. "What happened then?" "Oh, then he gave me a flotation device to hold on to, and I walked for a bit." Charles knew his face was flushing with joy with the memory, for a number of reasons, and he didn't care. Moira slumped back into the chair in his office at the university, which was usually reserved for students who had novel reasons for not turning in papers, but was now her seat for lunch. The brown bags and white paper from the deli were strewn across the table, aka his desk. "That's it?" "I just told you I walked again, and your only reaction is, that's it? I mean, yes, it was in a pool, but I say that counts." "No, no, that's wonderful. Of course it is. I'm not surprised your recovery has reached that point. Honestly, I'm kind of angry with myself for not prescribing water therapy earlier. It's just..." Moira shrugged her shoulders. "The way you were describing the scene, describing Eric, I kind of thought you might be leading up to a kiss." Did he just have a neon sign above his head constantly blinking, "Has it bad for Eric Lencher" in huge red letters? Charles groaned. "He's my massage therapist, that's all." She gave him a look. With a sigh, he admitted, Okay, I admit to having a bit of a crush." "A bit?" "I know I go on about him," Charles says, eyes cast down toward his desk. "But it's been a while since I've met anyone new who wasn't a student of mine. It's invigorating having different conversations, new stories to tell. Sometimes I feel so shut in, so isolated. Well, Eric changes that, at least a little, and I guess I respond to it. And we really do wind up talking about everything. Arguing about a lot of things, really. Politically, philosophically, we're opposites in so many ways. But it's a good kind of opposition, you know?" He smiled despite himself, unable to keep from picturing Eric's. "I tend to oversimplify, but he always overcomplicates. I'm an optimist stuck in a hopeless situation, and he's a pessimist who's decided to spend his life fighting for the impossible. He's quiet, and I blather on and on. Which I seem to be doing now. Sorry." "Like hell you have a crush. Charles, you're in love with him." He hadn't admitted that to himself yet, but once the words had come out of Moira's mouth, there was no denying it any longer. With a groan, he buried his face in one hand. Obviously, that was all the confirmation Moira needed. "And he likes you too, doesn't he? I mean, he spent all this time on extra therapy." Charles managed to look up and meet her eyes. "That's just to help with his certification." "Oh yeah?" Moira had a way of lifting her chin when she was feeling stubborn that was somehow both adorable and formidable at once. "It seems like he's showing you a lot more attention than the average masseur shows his clients." "Eric's never been anything less than professional, or more than professional, whichever way you'd put it." He looked down at his sandwich, could muster no appetite for it, and pushed it aside. "Why are you carrying on this way? Surely you, of all people, must know there's a protocol between patients and caregivers, lines you don't cross." She leans back in the chair, almost lost in thought for a long moment before she replied, "Charles, you and I crossed that line. Not as lovers, no, but as friends. Is it easy to switch from a professional relationship to a personal one? No. Do people sometimes get mixed up about it? Definitely yes. But it happens, and it's possible to navigate that transition in a healthy way. Charles hadn't looked at it in that light before. The idea that it was permissible to even think of Eric in that way was simultaneously exhilarating and terrifying. There had to be elements of this Moira wasn't considering. He's a massage therapist. He must get this all the time, constantly. Well, yeah, he probably deals with inappropriate attention more than I do, she admitted. I deal with people who are in the middle of massive physical trauma. Well, his specialty is something most of us associate more with foreplay than healthcare. But that means he's also used to fending that attention off. You're pretty obviously enamored of him. Big blinking neon sign equals check. So if you weren't at least thinking about it, he'd probably back off, put more space between you, be more formal. You know, the usual. Instead, he's getting in the pool with you and having these in-depth conversations. So, I think there's something there. Really? Yeah, really. So you have to feel him out. Metaphorically, I mean. Then you can get to feeling him out physically. Charles wadded up one of the sandwich bags and threw it at her. She dodged it easily. He said, "How am I supposed to do that? Before, if I fancied someone, I usually had a couple of drinks and threw myself at him." Subtle. All right, maybe it wasn't the most nuanced technique, but it got results. This is a lot more complicated. Wait, was he actually asking for advice about how to romantically approach Eric? Was he actually going to do it? He still didn't even know whether Eric was even gay. Or bi. Or open to suggestion. Moira said, "There's no set of hard and fast rules for this, but I think you could make your intentions clearer and see how he reacts. Take it from there." She tapped her fingers on the table. "You said he stayed until evening on Friday?" "Yes." "Did you offer him dinner?" "No, I didn't think of it. There wasn't anything in the house either." Hospitality fail? Oh God, you're spending too much time on Twitter again. She ignored this. Seriously, Charles, the guy gives you extra therapy and you send him home on the train for about an hour's commute with no food? That would be a no-no even if you weren't going to hit on him. This week, you are doing the water therapy again this week, right? He nodded. "I can have dinner ready." "Wait. No, I can't. But we can order in, maybe." "There you go!" Moira grinned, then suddenly became almost businesslike. Dr. McTaggart once more. "We had the sex talk way back when..." "Oh, God, not again." "No, not again. But maybe you should start reading up on the details of some of the options available to you. Just in case. I'll put together some PDFs and links for you. Send them your way later this afternoon, all right?" Just in case. Finally, Charles nodded. All right. If and when the time was right, he could check out the facts. When water therapy ended on Friday, Charles hauled his body from the water, where it was weightless, where he could stand, where he could feel like himself again, back to the realm of gravity. He panted at the pool's edge for a moment. His heart pounded so hard, he wondered whether Eric could see it. "Charles," he said, "do you need a boost back into your chair?" "No, I mean, yes." Sometimes Charles could manage floor to chair in his room with soft carpet underneath, but it wasn't worth the risk here. "But I wanted to ask, to say, it was rude of me to send you off so quickly last week." "You weren't rude last week." Eric's gray eyes looked wary. "Well, it's just that swimming always makes me hungry, famished really, and you have such a long trip home that I thought I ought to offer you dinner, Which is what I'm doing now, if you'd like. That had to have been the worst dinner invitation ever offered. But Eric said, "Sure, yeah, let's. What did you have in mind?" "Marriage." Instead, Charles said, "I thought we could order Chinese." "Chinese it is," Eric said, with what had to be the most incredible smile Charles had ever seen. Golden Phoenix delivered at speeds that made Charles wonder whether they had a TARDIS that could actually travel back in time to deliver the food faster than it could be cooked. He called in their order before he even dried himself off, which meant that by the time they met up on the first floor, the doorbell was already ringing. "Steamed broccoli? That's you," Charles said, handing over the paper box. They were spreading out on the kitchen table, which he'd chosen as being warm and cozy, at least more so than the one in the dining room, which could seat 42. "Shrimp with lobster sauce is me. Brown rice you, white rice me. Gosh, you're so healthy." "I'm not going to give you a guilt trip about it, so relax. Some people in my job turn into health cops. I only please myself." "Will you at least let me tempt you into a fortune cookie?" Charles held up two of the cellophane-wrapped cookies they'd been given. Eric gave him that astonishing smile again. "You're leading me down the path of sin." At that, Charles leaned onto his elbows, propping himself up so he wouldn't actually melt down onto the floor. "Pick one." "We can't open them until the end. It's tradition." "Open at the end, but pick now." He was teasing now, almost flirting. Yes, this was what flirting looked like, wasn't it? Eric took a cookie, and they got started on their dinner. Thank God Golden Phoenix was so reliably delicious that Charles could be sure that Eric would enjoy even a meal as Spartan as steamed broccoli. He contemplated offering Eric a glass of wine, but decided against it. Even with neither of them driving tonight, he got the sense that, for Eric, alcohol could be a sensitive subject. "You should be heading into finals, right?" Eric said. "Early next month?" Charles nodded. The students have begun to get that panicked look, that, "Oh God, my paper is due" look. "Flop sweat?" "No, that kicks in around the 1st of May." Eric chuckled as he used his chopsticks to fish in the carton for another bite of broccoli. "Are you teaching summer school, or do you get some time off?" "Neither, actually. I'll be writing." "Writing?" "I'm working on a book about advanced genetics, genetic engineering, the frontiers of that science, but for a popular audience. There's so much legend and lore out there about what genetic engineering can do. So many science fiction movies, you know? I'm hoping to set the record straight, but it can be entertaining, I hope. Fascinating even to the layperson. That's my goal, anyway."
"I'd read it."
"But you know me. You sort of have to read it. I'd badger you about it, and about posting a good Amazon review, too."
"No, I mean, a book like that, it's something I'd pick up in a bookstore anyway. And I think you'd be someone who could make it fascinating, like you said."
Although Charles knew modesty was not one of his principal virtues, praise from Eric had the power to make him feel completely disarmed. He ducked his head as he smiled. "Well, I've got help, thank goodness. My sister's fiancé used to be one of my research assistants. He's helping me check and double-check all my facts. These days, the science is evolving so quickly that keeping up is a full job in itself."
"You must like him, then, the man your sister's marrying."
"Hank's wonderful. The last guy I ever thought she'd choose, but they're good for each other. That's another thing I'm doing this summer, attending the wedding. Late August, so it's going to be blazing hot, and we've yet to figure out how I'm supposed to walk her down the aisle in my chair. But we'll think of something."
"So they're rushing to the altar?"
"No. Well, yes, Hank proposed after only 4 months, but they've been engaged for 3 years.
They refused to set a date until gay marriage was recognized in New York. I think she was hoping we could have a double wedding.
Okay, that was very much not smooth.
But Eric didn't seem to notice any awkwardness.
Do you know, that's just about the only subject that could interest my mother the last couple years of her life. She loved the idea of being able to finally see me married. If I'd been dating a guy seriously, I think she might have convinced herself to hold on, just to see that.
I wish she could have seen it, Charles said, wholly sincerely, despite the fact that the words singing in his head were, "Gay, gay, 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 he's gay!"
Me too.
So you haven't... There wasn't anyone serious in your life?
The horror movie ending here, Charles knew, would be for Eric to announce that he was now engaged or something like that. He felt as though he were holding his breath. But Eric shook his head.
I was dating someone when the accident happened. The relationship, it was one of those on-again, off-again things, but it was on again, and that time I really thought we were going to make it work. He saw me through Dad's funeral and the first couple months with Mom, and then...
Eric's laugh was sharp enough to cut. Then he told me that the situation was too intense for him. He left me the same day I changed my mother's catheter for the first time and bungled it. We were both so humiliated, and I went to his place feeling so raw, and that's when he lowered the boom. This man I loved, this person I thought I might spend my life with, now every time I think about him, all I think about is the heat and the stench of piss. He straightened. Sorry, oversharing. And that was hardly dinner conversation.
No, it's okay.
Charles could still hardly wrap his mind around this. He said your father's death and your mother's disability were too intense for him?
You caught that, huh?
It gets worse. He had the nerve to call me 2 weeks after my mother's funeral. He only wanted me without baggage, which means he never wanted me at all. The real pain in his voice, still, after all this time, pierced Charles through. When he put his hand on Eric's forearm, he had no thoughts about an excuse to touch Eric, or how he might look. He could only think of providing comfort if he could. He didn't think about the warmth of Eric's skin beneath his until later.
He was an idiot. I'm sorry.
Eric shrugged. It was a while ago. The idea of it upsets me more than the reality now. I mean, better I found out who he really was earlier rather than later. His eyes sought Charles. I hope nothing like that happened to you.
No, there wasn't anyone in my life then.
Charles leaned back, relinquishing the touch.
Hadn't been for a while, actually.
I find that hard to believe, Eric said. It was the same sort of generic pleasantry nearly anyone might have uttered, and yet it coursed through Charles like lightning in his veins. The conversation rambled a bit after that. They were both eager to move on from such heavy topics, and Charles could hardly focus for the stupid happiness bubbling up inside him. He was still giddy when he cracked open his fortune cookie.
Let's see. There is a prospect for a thrilling time ahead for you. That's promising.
Snapping open his cookie as well, Eric read, "All the water in the world cannot sink a ship unless it gets inside."
Oh, that's one of the ones I hate. It's not a fortune at all, is it?
At least one of us is going to have a good time. As for me, I guess this is saying I shouldn't sail on the Titanic?
Charles pursed his lips, mock serious.
Bad move. Definitely not.
Definitely.
There was that grin again.
Finally, Eric went on his way, no more or less businesslike than he'd been leaving any other time, until he was already walking down the stoop to the waiting taxi.
This was fun, he said.
Yeah, it was. Charles wished he'd said that just a couple of steps before, when he might have dared to reach out his hand, tangle his fingers with Eric's. We should do it again sometime. Next week, maybe?
I'd like that, Eric said. No more doubt. No more denial. Next week would be a date. An actual date. They'd segue from the professional part of the day to the personal. They could manage it. But then what?
Charles took a deep breath, then steered his chair towards his office. It was time to do something he'd been putting off the past few days. It was time to read Moira's email all about sex.
Charles's files all proclaimed L2 incomplete spinal fracture, ACIA scale D. Back during their earlier months of his recovery, Moira had explained that this meant he could possibly still experience psychogenic erections. This meant getting hard just because he was turned on, because his cock and brain were working together. The alternative, reflex erections, those caused by physical stimulation to the penis, regardless of what was going on in your head. Those mostly occurred more often than they had before, mostly because Charles could no longer sense the earliest stages and talk himself down if it happened at an inconvenient moment. Male paraplegics had to watch their own laps to make sure they weren't inadvertently embarrassing the hell out of everyone in the room. Well, as it turned out, Charles could still have psychogenic erections. He'd even been able to masturbate from there to orgasm. Twice. 2 times total. In 18 months. The few other times his body had gotten turned on, along with his brain, his cock wouldn't stay hard very long, no matter how eagerly Charles stroked himself, no matter how many dirty thoughts he paraded through his mind. It was as though his mind and body would only work together for a brief moment, enough to excite, but not enough to satisfy. Charles had to believe he'd get it up for Eric. Just the thought of kissing him was enough to make him feel almost dizzy. But what if, in the moment, and it finally seemed like they might get this moment, his body wouldn't stay with him? It was horrifying to imagine going limp in Eric's hand. Eric would know your limitations. He'd understand, Charles thought. This helped a little, but only so much. Although Eric worked with paraplegics, he had most likely never been in bed with one before. Could they even find ways to please each other? Charles couldn't move the way he used to move. God, how he used to love to ride his partners, drive them crazy, giving it to them good until his thighs burned and his body was covered with sweat and he was totally fucked out. He glanced down at his lap. Nope, nothing. With determination, Charles took up his iPad and opened Moira's email attachments. There, in clinical black and white, were his options. In option number 1, he could inject certain drugs into his penis to make sure it stayed erect. Inject. With a needle. Charles didn't have full sensation down there any longer, but he was reasonably sure he'd feel that. No thanks. He could use a medicated urethral suppository, a combination of words Charles had never even thought to put together. Wincing, he realized his hands had subconsciously moved down to cover his crotch. Still, it was better than the thought of an injection. Barely. More encouraging was the news that for men with spinal injury similar to his, Viagra was sometimes an option. That was all right, wasn't it? Just a pill he could take, one among dozens. Yes, he'd asked Moira for a prescription. It would be worth the interrogation that would result. You had to take Viagra about an hour before you hoped to have sex, though. Wasn't there any way to be spontaneous? He used to love giving in to the whim, to the moment. It turned out that there was such a thing as a penile prosthesis. Charles' first thought was dildo,
But this was a mechanism that could actually be implanted within the penis. An inflatable mechanism. How did that work? Hey, maybe it was manually inflatable. He could tell Eric, put your lips together and blow. Not bad. But some worked via remote control. Oh, strange new world, Charles murmured, staring at the illustration on the screen. However, prostheses had two big drawbacks. One, they could get infected. And in Charles's life, even a mundane infection could be dire. And an infection there? Not a pleasant prospect. And also, a prosthetic could malfunction. The sources Moira had sent were maddeningly vague as to exactly what malfunction meant, but in any case, it was ominous. He imagined his erection popping up, then down, then up again, like the bar at a parking garage exit. Not good. But worse was the idea of rapid deflation, air spurting out and sputtering like a fart. There was always a vacuum pump. Sucking really did do wonders. But Charles crossed this off the list as soon as he read that these produced bluish erections that are cold to the touch. Christ on a pony. So, Viagra? Viagra. Wearily, Charles closed Moira's email, but then he thought, Moira would only give him clinical information, the sort of things doctors could, with propriety, say to their patients. Mightn't the internet offer a more practical suggestion? Eagerly, he started on a set of searches that he guessed would make his Gmail ads highly entertaining for a few weeks, at least. But the internet wasn't all that much more helpful. There were many helpful, determinedly positive blogs telling him that paraplegics could be great lovers without bothering to tell him exactly how. There were plenty of pages touting the merits of all the options Moira had already provided for him, but no others. What illustrations and guides Charles could find were all heteronormative. This wasn't a huge problem, since he could transpose easily enough, but it was a little alienating. The only two main sex aids he found that Moira hadn't suggested were wedges and slings. Wedges looked simple enough. Pillows a paraplegic could lie across to tilt the pelvis upward. Charles figured regular pillows would work for that just as well. Still, it was nice to imagine lying splayed out like that for Eric. Very nice. That he could do, definitely. What would it feel like now to have another man inside him? Charles knew he'd be able to sense it. Enough sensation remained for that. But could it be anything close to as good as it had been before? Unwilling to think about that any longer, Charles decided to examine the slings in more detail. Then he wished he hadn't. Who the hell do they think I am? A member of the Cirque du Soleil? Yes, he had more upper body strength now, but could he really hold himself long enough for a sexual experience worth having? And the stark black straps, the way they held you open, used gravity to splay you out. Well, it reminded him of bondage, a taste Charles had indulged for a couple of lovers, but didn't greatly enjoy. And if he'd found it intimidating before, the idea of being bound and helpless, as he would be in that sling. Now it was terrifying. Charles leaned back in his chair and covered his face with his hands. How do I do this? How do I make this good for Eric and for me? Is that even possible? He wished he could return to the part of the evening when the energy coursing through him had been anticipation instead of fear. Eric lay across his bed, panting, naked. After a few moments when he could focus again, he grabbed some Kleenex from the bedside table and cleaned up. His eyes sought the screen of the laptop, still glowing from where he'd left it on his pillow. The paraplegic lying across that wedge pillow, smiling luminously at the camera, was a woman, but it was easy enough for Eric to imagine Charles lying there naked instead. It wasn't that different from the view he had while he massaged Charles's back. Or that different from his thoughts while he did lately. He needed to tell Charles that he had to stop being his therapist. Really, he should have done it after dinner. Instead, Eric had used up all his self-control by not bending down and kissing Charles goodbye as he left. Charles would have kissed him back. But Charles hadn't had a man in his life for a long time, by his own admission. It sounded as if the only other male person he even spent time with anymore was his sister's fiancé. Eric remembered Sean's words about how vulnerable their patients were, physically and emotionally. Eric genuinely believed that he'd been careful with Charles, and the conversations they'd had were meaningful, personal. Surely the connection between them was real and worth exploring. So why hadn't he quit as Charles's therapist today? That was the next step, the best step, both for his career and for whatever relationship he and Charles might build together. He could do it right now, even. Just pick up the phone and call. It was late, but Charles had said he never went to bed before midnight. He imagined Charles' soft voice in his ear as he lay here in bed, heart still beating fast from the orgasm he'd had while imagining their bodies locked together. Eric closed his eyes. His cock twitched, unable to answer again so soon, but still responding to the thought. And still he didn't call. Maybe, Eric thought, he was just chicken shit. Not about getting turned down. He was pretty sure Charles wanted this as badly as he did. But about taking on the responsibility again. He'd spent years of his life caring for a quadriplegic during virtually every second he wasn't at work or school. Was he scared of doing it again? No. No, that wasn't it. It was work sometimes, even grueling work. But Eric had never flinched from anything his mother needed. He wouldn't flinch from Charles either. Eric thought, possibly, this was because he was half in love with Charles already. So why didn't he call?